live right outside of Johnstown in a little town called Wimber, Pennsylvania. And we'd be glad to have you come stay with us. We have a nice Dead and Breakfast there. Actually, we also bought the funeral director's house, which is right next door. So if you're afraid to sleep in the funeral home, we can put you there. How's that? We'd be glad to have you and enjoy some fellowship together. There's a few things back on the back. We have a catalog back there of the books that we have reprinted and a few books that I have written. And so you can get one of these. We have about 50 books that we have put back into print. And that's really one of the passion of the things that we do. And I have a dear friend of mine who lives in Virginia that I've known for many years, and he assists us in the desktop publishing and getting those ready. And so we have that catalog back there, and we keep adding to the collection. There should be a few more books by the end of the year. And then every day we send out a little email, call it Daily Email Goodies. And if you're interested in that, just a little study each day. There's a sheet back there you can put your email address on. And then weekly we publish the Bible Student's Notebook. We started publishing this about 20 years ago. Of course, I believed a lot of things different 20 years ago. It was just an occasional periodical. And then 2 years ago, we started publishing it every week. And if you're interested in that, there's also a sheet back there you can put your name and address on. And we'd be glad to send you a few issues of that so you can give it a try. The sample one that's back there, Dean sent this to me. It's called My Unexpected Discovery. Hannah Whitehall Smith. It's her story of coming to understand the salvation of all. A moving story. She wrote it in her biography. I don't know if you're familiar with Hannah Whitehall Smith. She gets a lot of publicity, and she wrote The Christian Secret of a Happy Life, 100 years ago or so, 125 years ago. And it's very popular. And she wrote a biography, an autobiography, and told about her life story, which included coming to understand the salvation of all. And it's been reprinted a few times, but conveniently these chapters are missing. And when Dean sent me a copy of it, I was excited, and I ended up ordering every copy I could, every publication I could. Edition I could find, so I could try to find out when this story got removed and so forth. And so that was sort of an interesting thing. But it's a moving story. I don't know what happens in our day. I don't know if it's so much entertainment and busyness with our lives that our minds just stay focused on so many things. But if you have time to think about the issue of hell, I believe it could drive you insane. If you really believe, and she tells the story here so movingly and of how she got to a place she couldn't even hardly go out in public anymore because every face she saw was someone who was going to spend eternity tortured forever. And she could hardly go out in public anymore. And she tells the story. It's a very moving story of her coming to see the salvation of all. Wonderful piece of work. And so those are back there if you'd like to get that to read. We're going to... I enjoyed the things that we've heard today. It's interesting, you know, there was no theme really assigned to us here and no topic. And each of the speakers are sort of on our own. And it's interesting as I listened to the messages today, the things that were brought out, and how wonderfully they fit into what I want to talk to you about today. And like they've all been introductory toward the things that I want to share with you. I enjoy our brother this morning talking about the double doctrine. And that is as alive today as it was early in church history. That men will teach one thing while believing something else. We were talking about this at the lunch table today. You know, I've met along the way, as I've learned truths, I would talk to preachers about these truths. And I've had preachers tell me, like I would talk to them about the tithe. And I had a preacher tell me one time, yeah, I know that the tithe belonged to Israel. And that that has nothing to do with us. But if I teach the truth about that and I stop teaching tithing, our income will go down and this ministry will close. So he believed one thing, but he taught another. I've had other people, when preachers talk to me about the issue of grace and the freedom in Christ and how the law has been done away, and they'll say, you know, I know that's true, but if I teach this to my people, they'll just live wildly. In other words, they believe one thing and teach another. And boy, how true that is. Now, what I want to talk to you is about fear. I loved Martin's talk today, and I'm looking forward to this evening. What an important truth that we understand who God is and what happened at Calvary, and that it wasn't that God's anger that was supposed to be directed toward us, and it was directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But we understand that what happened at Calvary was because God loved us, and that it was indeed a gift of God to us. You know, when I came to understand, really, the salvation of all, it changed everything in my thinking about myself and about God and about everyone I met. I saw God in a different light. I was supposed to push a button. Somebody tell me. You know what's going on, right?
You got a minute and a half left.
I got a minute and a half. Time flies when you're having fun. So just tell me when I'm near the end. I forgot all about it. And it changed. When I understood the salvation of all, it changed the way I saw God. I didn't see Him as angry. You know, and you don't have to be raised a Catholic to see God angry. I was raised a Baptist, and we had an angry God too. He was pissed off. He was mad. And he was looking for an opportunity to whack you. That was my Baptist God too. And I was afraid of him. And it changed my view of God. When I came to understand this, it changed my view of myself, and it changed the view of everyone that I met in life, because I realized that they were included in what God was doing, that He wasn't going to leave anyone out, that no one was going to be lost for eternity. What a wonderful truth that is. You know, in the Old Testament, or the Greek, Hebrew Scriptures, three times we read this phrase, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what's important for us to understand about that, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To me, the key to that is the word beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. A lot of folks think that's the end of wisdom. That's the whole thing of wisdom, is to fear God. And people live their lives in fear. And the reason I was brought up that whole thing of double doctrine is, that whole thing of double doctrine is to get people to be afraid. Afraid not to put the money in the offering plate. And that's their motive to give, because God is going to do something. Afraid to live their lives as God made them because of some standard that they're going to violate. Fear. Religion breeds fear, the fear of God, and fear of life itself. And yet, interestingly, when we read one of those examples in the Scriptures, Psalm 111:10, for instance, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and then the rest of it says, a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Notice there's a connection with the fear of the Lord and doing His commandments. After all, that's the way it works. Here's the rules. You mess them up, you're busted. You're in trouble. So the fear of the Lord connected with understanding, doing the commandments of the Lord. fear is a starting place with God. Fear is purely an elementary nature. Man's first approach to God. It's a discovery of who we are and who God is, that He's the Creator, that He's the Almighty. The law was introduced. We even heard that today. The law was introduced at Sinai. And Sinai was not a place of love and affection. Sinai was a place of thunder, lightning, and smoke. The mountain's on fire. As Martin told us, you know, they said, we don't want to talk to Him. Would you go talk to Him for us? And the Bible says that the people trembled. They were afraid. Every time I read that passage there, it makes me think of the Wizard of Oz. You know? And you're going to see the wizard. Oh! And how frightening it is to be there. Fear and trembling. But that's only the elementary education of God. Because we learn in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 and 25, says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The Concordant version has in for schoolmaster, escort, which in the key word concordance says one who leads or tutors children. The law was a schoolmaster, a tutor to bring us to Christ. And once we've come to Christ, we're no longer enrolled in that class. We're no longer enrolled in that elementary education, that process of fear. Mature adult sons of God have their fear of God replaced by perfect love. Because the Apostle John says that perfect love casts out fear. And you know, we know the one who has perfect love. It's God. God has that perfect love. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, it says, for you did not get slavery's spirit to fear. And that's exactly what the law was. Law was a slave, made us a slave. It says, for you did not get slavery's spirit to fear again, but you got the spirit of sonship in which we are crying, Abba, Father. So instead of fear and being in slavery, we have a relationship with God that says, Abba, Father. The one great thing about God, when I began to understand these truths, is just to know that He's my Father. Now I know there's a lot of bad examples of fathers in the world. But I had the best. I had the most wonderful father that a man could have. And I know there were places in my elementary part of my life when I was learning right from wrong, and when he was protecting me from things, from playing in the street or whatever it might be, where I was afraid of my dad. I was afraid that he would catch me. I was afraid that he would correct me. But you know, the more I learned about my dad, his hands weren't hands that were coming after me. They were hands that would embrace me. My dad loved me. And I have no doubt that if my life was in danger, he would give his life for me. And what we come to learn as we study the Scriptures is we come to learn that the Creator, the Almighty God, the God of the universe, is our dad. And he loves us. And we're important. And our heartaches are his. He loves us. And perfect love casteth out fear. There's actually a process if we will think about this. I like to think of it this way. There is preschool, if we would. And preschool is the fool stage. The ignorant stage, the fool stage. And preschool is those who say there is no God. There is no God. Or either they say there is no God, they deny him, or they live just independent of God. That's just such a preschool place. A place of foolishness. The fool has said in his heart. Foolish. And Paul describes that there is no fear of God before them. He says in Romans. Or before them, before their faces. There is no fear of God. There's a world out there that doesn't fear God. And it's not because they know of his love. It's just because they're foolish. They just don't know who he is. But then that next stage, that elementary school, is when you come to find out that there is a God. And the very one of the very first things that that creates in you is fear. That first process. Oh my, there's a God. There's a creator. And you realize how insignificant you are and how great he is and how he's the almighty. And the beginning of wisdom. You haven't even started to learn anything. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And that's the way it is as the time of the scriptures laid out. And we see that happening in the process of time and with the nation of Israel. And the very first principle we really begin to see fully developed in the scripture is that of fear and realizing who and how big God is. And then we come to the postgraduate. We're adult sons, maturity, fully knowing who God is. And those today who live in fear that's brought about by, and how was the fear brought about? Mount Sinai, the law, in Psalms, the connecting with the fear of the Lord, with obeying His commandments. It comes through law. It comes through legalism. It comes through religion will breed that fear. And I submit to us that those of us who still fear God and are afraid of Him, we just don't know who He really is. You know, the world will love God if they knew Him like we know Him. That's just not been revealed to them yet. They don't yet see who He really is, for who He really is. Because Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says that our fear has been replaced with something. Because it says, seeing that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. I never remember a day in my childhood that I would have ever doubted that my dad loved me, or my mom for that matter. That they loved me. They poured love on me. I'm thankful to God I raised that way and understanding that way. I've been able to pour love on my children. But the wonderful thing is that God's poured love on us. He's poured it on us. In fact, I love this line from Fanny Crosby's song where she, on Blessed Assurance, and there's this line, it's always my favorite line of Blessed Assurance, and it says, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. What a wonderful place to get lost. In the love of God. And every time I hear that line, I just think about being in a big vat of something. You know, and you're like, just lost in it. You're so engulfed in it. There's no way out. You're just surrounded by the love of God. There's no one in the universe that has your best interest at heart more than the one who created you. Your Abba. Your dad. I was telling Charles yesterday afternoon when we were talking in fellowship, I have a dear friend who, when I first pastored, him and his wife were in our church, and a wonderful, sweet couple, a military family, and they homeschooled their children, and just a wonderful family. And they ended up getting out of the military and moved out of state, and the next thing you know, I get a phone call from him, and he's barricaded in his house, and the police are outside, and he's taken his wife's life, and, you know, to get a phone call like that from someone you know, and someone that you've been close to, and it's hard, and they had moved there, and she had gotten involved in drugs in her old life and was cheating on him. And in the heat of a moment, he took her life. And I'll have to tell you that I believe he loved her so much. And he thought he was losing his life. And in that moment, and it was wrong. And of course, he knew it was wrong. It's been 20 years ago. He's still in prison. I talk to him every week. I write him. Now with email, he can have email. I go to visit him occasionally. And all this time, I've tried to share what I knew along the way. 20 years, you know. I didn't know a lot at the beginning about the love of God. But he has carried the weight of, number one, the love of this woman these 20 years. I sat with him not that many months ago and watched him tell me for the first time. He's sitting there and he's just telling me. And he's telling me how he met her and how they courted, you know. And he's so, so in love with her, and tears are coming down his eyes, you know. And he is so guilty. And he's lived every moment of every day that event over and over and over in his mind. And I have tried to be a comfort to him. I've tried to share things with him. And the reason I'm telling you this is in the last 2 years, I've finally seen a transformation in his heart. And it's because I've been talking to him about a dad that I didn't used to know about. And he started talking to me. And when I hear him, sometimes I pick up the phone, and when he calls, and for the first time in the last couple months, I hear someone laughing on the other end. And I hear someone saying, you know, I was thinking about Dad the other day. He got a different view of the Father. He is just eating things up. In fact, he's just finishing up Knox's book on the purpose of evil, you know. And when we're on the phone, he wants to read me a section, you know. and it's just wonderful. But I'm talking about some joy in a man's heart that hasn't had joy in 20 years. Because all of a sudden, he sees his Father, who loves him no matter what. He sees a Father who cares about him. He found out about what Fanny Crosby wrote about being lost somewhere. Lost in his love. It's like being deep in a forest and you can't find your way out, but it's okay because the forest is the love of God. We don't even want out. What a wonderful place. Love is the very definition of God. The Apostle John says, God is love. And his perfect love casts out fear. And I'm going to tell you today, the more and more you come to know the Father, the more and more you come to know God, the more and more fear in your life will be cast away. You having trouble with fear? Keep looking to the Father. He's the answer. Move from that elementary place, that first approach to God of fear. Move over to that post-grad place where we know the Father in His fullness, where we understand Him. You know, there's another wonderful song that I think about often. It's called The Love of God, written in 1917. And Frederick Meehan wrote it. And what's interesting is the last verse of the song, we are told, was found in an insane asylum on a wall in one of the rooms where they locked insane people. And on the side of the wall by the bed, this poem had been written. And it was found, and the entire song, The Love of God, was built around this one poem, which I love. Listen to this. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. You know, if that story's true, I don't know what that person was doing in the insane asylum, locked up there, and those words on the side of the wall. But somebody knew something. Sometimes they think we're insane, don't they? What greater thing can we know than the inexhaustible love of God? God who loves us. Are you afraid of the loving Father? Then you just don't really know Him yet. Not as you should. And when you read the Scriptures, no matter what it is you're reading, remember that God is love. That everything He does, all of His acts, are motivated by that action for which He is identified and His love. Father, we thank You today. First of all, we just want to thank You that we can call You Father. That we can say Dad. And we know that You love us more than anyone else. More than that person on earth that loves us the most, You love us more. That You have our best interest in heart. Even when it looks like we're going through the hardest of times, and our back is against the wall, and we don't know what to do or where to turn or why we're going through what we're going through, that You just love us. And Father, we just rest in that. We rest in the fact You're a good dad. And we rejoice to be Your sons and Your daughters, that You would be willing to make us such. In our wonderful Savior's name we pray. Amen.